Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Supervisor Michael Antonovich of LA County. Michael, you have a diverse background with many significant contributions over a substantive career of much success. Thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights with our audience. Supervisor Antonovich, if you can please profile your wonderful background to our audience and what are your philosophies of life? And what is your life mission?
Well, I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles and attended Russell Elementary School and Edison Junior High School. And then from Fremont High School to our family moved to John Marshall High School. I graduated there and then entered the Army. My philosophy of life is that you make up your mind on what you're going to do, as Ronald Reagan said, and then you work toward that goal and continue working to achieve your goals. And my goals began in the fifth grade when I wanted to be an educator, following the wonderful example of my fifth grade instructor, Mrs. Sarah Schaefer. And then in the eighth grade, wanted to expand that to also include the public service side relative to the political arena. And I was able to accomplish both goals by being an educator and also an elected official.
Well, that's a remarkable background and speaks to all the deep insights that you can provide. Now, we have a fairly large audience in China, so there are several big cities in China who play the roles of central cities with adjacent satellite cities, which is similar to the system of counties and cities in the USA. Based upon your deep insights and responsibilities for LA County, what are your suggestions for development of a regional economy?
Well, you need to have a regional economy where all of our 88 cities have an opportunity to sit at the table and participate with the County of Los Angeles in determining our priorities and opportunities. The current system is one that does not permit that because the City of Los Angeles has too much input and involvement so that the other 87 cities and the county at times will have their resources shifted over to LA City projects and not regional projects and programs. For example, in the San Gabriel Valley, the Alameda Corridor that was developed by the City of Los Angeles stopped at the LA City boundaries, and it took our efforts to create a new public-private partnership called Alameda Corridor East to move that Alameda Corridor from the City of Los Angeles boundaries out through the county boundaries through the county San Bernardino Riverside County lines. Also, the need to develop the GOL line to Ontario Airport, the City of Los Angeles has been an impediment to us getting that done. If we could build that GOL line to the Claremont boundaries and work with San Bernardino County to then extend it to Ontario Airport, we could develop a high-tech area in the San Gabriel Valley, which would create jobs and business opportunities for the region.
So again, based on your observations involving globalization of a regional economy, what are the potential pros and cons?
Well, the pros and cons, basically, it's more pro than con. L.A. County is the 17th largest economy in the world. L.A. City does not even rank in the top 30. Our two ports are the fifth busiest port complex in the world. $218 billion in goods move through our ports annually. And approximately 40% of all the goods that are shipped into the United States come from our ports. Right, we have a situation where 70% of all the cargo from our ports go outside LA County boundaries, which call for a development of inland ports in Antelope Valley and San Bernardino County, where we could move cargo via rail instead of truck to these outlying areas and then distribute it through the United States. Because currently 20,000 trips are made daily from our port complex, exacerbating our freeway roadway network in the county. And in 25 years, that amount of cargo is going to triple. So what we need to have are inland ports and a development of our Alameda Corridor East in a fast-track way and the development of the GOL line through onto Ontario Airport.
So in terms of the relationship between China and the USA, what are your expectations and what do you consider a decent bilateral international relationship?
Well, our relationships have improved over the years, and it began with President Nixon's historic visit to China, and through those efforts, those who supported a mixed economy in the Chinese government were able to assume leadership positions, so they were able to develop more of a capitalistic system in economics. And also in the religious side, they have been able to expand religious freedom over the years. There are still a long ways to go. There are many issues that need to be resolved, but they're moving in the right direction. So that was a very positive relationship. So what we need to have are greater international relations where we can work together to prevent North Korea from being the serious threat that they are today by having them eliminate their nuclear threat, and also help ensure that they develop an economy that is realistic and not patterned after the Stalinist economic system of the former Soviet Union economy.
You know, I reminded that you have an educational background, and that resonates with you. So you've done a lot of support for children. What is your advice to Chinese children for their growth at this moment?
Well, the same advice I would give American children. It's important that they learn, that they study, that they discipline themselves to put education first, and also be involved in exercise and good diet, so that they're not going to create future health problems for themselves, but they're going to be strong, hard, they're going to be strong, and their bodies will be strong, their minds will be strong, and they'll be a productive citizen for their country.
And I take that will extend then to sort of a lifelong of a process of education and so on.
Right, with good education, taking care of your taking care educationally of your abilities is to enhance your education to the greatest level that you can, and to enhance your health, you want to ensure that you exercise and eat a proper diet. And you're going to be a benefit to your community by doing that, but more importantly, you're going to be an asset to your family who you'll be involved in supporting and setting the example.
You know, as a senior leader and as one with much influence and so on, what do you think of entrepreneurship supported by government officials?
Well, I helped develop the Los Angeles Economic Development Corporation back in 1981, and that was to attract, retain, and grow businesses and jobs for the County of Los Angeles. To date, they have created nearly 152,000 jobs with a direct impact of $7.5 billion and $127 million in annual tax revenue. Additionally, I helped initiate the Business Technology Incubator, which is the BTI, located in Altadena. It's a public-private partnership, but their success stories, and this is working with Caltech, JPL, Claremont Colleges, the various businesses and entrepreneurs in the San Gabriel Valley. Some of the success stories include Direct Methanol Fuel Cell, which was a startup with technologies developed at USC and Caltech to develop miniature fuel cells for laptop computers. We have the AirCount Vision, manufactures high-definition surveillance cameras. They started 4 years ago in a 165-square-foot office with two employees. And recently, they moved to their own building, their own facilities in Glendale with over 40 employees. We have Biology, which is a biomed company that had been credited with the discovery of a new method of gene detection in the field of DNA analysis. And then we developed at that BTI a Leisure Link, which integrates the vacation rental market and has major contracts with the various Travel City and Expedia. And they helped the BTC help them obtain $15 million funding from angels and venture firms since inception. So in 3 years, this one company grew to over 30 employees, and they have now moved into their own facilities in Pasadena. Their founder, Kelly Tompkins, has come back to the BTC to grow his next venture, which is called a Venture Link. And I might add that in the year 2000, we were one of 10 recipients of the National Award of Excellence for outstanding work using block grant funding to create a better community. We also received the National Association of Counties, the 2000 Achievement Year Award.
Well, there's obviously a tight integration between your work and your efforts in the county and that of also supporting entrepreneurship, because ultimately it results in increased productivity for the region, but for the country, and then benefits to the world.
Yes.
So we're getting down to some final questions here. What are your opinions on the roles of government in these economic downtimes?
Well, leadership is vital in addressing the labor crisis. And while I'm a firm believer in the importance of laissez-faire economic policies, elected officials need to create the infrastructure to stimulate job creation and retention for the private sector in the form of deregulation and lower taxes. You need to provide incentives. You need to create the jobs. And high taxes create disincentives. And as a result of California's high tax rate, we've had businesses leaving our state for Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and other the 50 states. Like the magazine The Economist did an analysis of Texas and California, and they found that in Texas, which has a part-time legislature and a two-year budget, they have more businesses from the Fortune 500 than any of the other states. They have no income tax, and they have no sales tax, whereas California has some of the highest sales, income, and business taxes in the nation. So we could learn from Texas on how to create jobs. In the state of Nevada, they are now running ads in the state of California to businesses telling them that because they have less taxes, they are a business friendly. And they said in their ads, you could kiss your assets goodbye if you stay in California, but if you move to Nevada, you'll have a thriving business. So we need to address the incentives to keep jobs here, and we do that by reducing the size and scope of taxes and government regulation.
You know, Michael, do you have any closing comments based on your experiences, your insights, your long history of success, and, you know, just to close out this interview?
Well, what I would say is we need to look at, on the public side, the success records of our neighboring states and how they've been able to attract jobs and reduce their overhead and, let's say, their bloated bureaucracies and develop those similar programs in California. We currently have a $20-plus billion state deficit. The state was spending more money at a higher rate than inflation and population growth. And we need to have them pull on their reins because their irresponsibilities are harming our cities and counties who are responsible for public safety and other vital services. And we're going to have the state drive out jobs, which will hurt our schools, our cities and counties. And we need to have our state in the position of attracting jobs, which will boost our economy and create the necessary resources for our schools and our cities and counties to provide the vital services that we require and the incentives to create jobs.
Well, thank you, Michael, for coming in today. I know your schedule is very demanding, and we are indeed fortunate to have you do this interview. And we'll continue to follow your work and that of LA County and the historical impact that it's making and the models that it presents that can be emulated throughout the world. So thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Okay, well, have a good afternoon.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Supervisor Michael Antonovich of LA County.